recruits. Now, 9 additional names have committed since it was almost exactly 1 week ago to the minute. It happened like in the 11 o'clock hour when we broke the news about that, when the word came down about Arch Manning's commitment to the University of Texas. And 9 additional names have joined Arch Manning's name in the list of commitments of the University of Texas, and included additional 5 stars and 4 stars and all of that. And the latest, of course, being Jonte Cook from DeSoto being that as well. So it continues to go up. We mentioned Longhorn baseball with the search going on with the coaching staff, now with what David Pierce will be looking to replace in terms of the coaching staff, which, by the way, Ty, which brings us to a question on the Specs text line. Going back into your past, somebody asking, how did you like Northeast Texas Community College, Mount Pleasant? I grew up in Omaha, and I worked in Mount Pleasant. I saw on Wikipedia you were there in the early 90s. I remember that team having success when you were there and the excitement, but not knowing that someone with Longhorn ties was behind it.
Yeah, so I loved it. I still have a lot of friends and the Sisk family, and who actually Pat Sisk, who just passed away, he and my dad were teammates at Baylor. That was my first tie-in to getting the job at Northeast Texas Community College. And obviously, we won a national title in 96, so that's always going to be something you carry with you. But I was there for 4 years.
And it was a springboard for you.
It was. There's no question it was. I loved it. I'd never spent a ton of time in Northeast Texas, part mm-hmm. of the, you know, the state. I'd spent a year in Tyler. My dad and I and mom did for 1 year, and then I grew fond of it. I truly did. And now, I will say this. There was this aroma because of the chicken farms that were out there that occasionally, if the wind set up just right, just like in Lubbock there is with the stockyards and the feedlots, that you know things get a little different for you. But I did. I loved it. I had a blast. It enhanced my career. There's no question about it.
There's that certain aromatic quality for certain towns.
Yeah.
Where I grew up in North Carolina was fine, but there were a couple of towns, one in the far western part of the state in the mountains, Canton, North Carolina, one in down in the southeast part of the state near where I go on vacation, Regalwood, which was down near the coast, and they were paper mill towns. And Georgetown, South Carolina, which is between Myrtle Beach and Charleston along the coast, is a paper mill town, a big Weyerhaeuser paper company there for years and years and years, and it has that certain aroma. Yeah. And in Tacoma, Washington, when I was doing indoor soccer, they would play the Tacoma Stars, and of course, Tacoma is just about 20 miles south of Seattle, and they would call it the Tacoma Aroma. wood town, paper mill town, and all that, too. So you'd have that there. So, but that had to make it difficult for you in terms of leaving there to go to Blinn.
I did, except for that the difference was when I left Northeast, yes, it was a tough choice because mm-hmm. we just won a national title. Maybe I was a year removed from it. Got to the finals the next year to get to Grand Junction, which is a beautiful place, by the way. It is mm-hmm. truly an unbelievable tournament as well. But I looked at Blinn, and I was like, it's between Austin and Houston.
South of College Station.
Just south of College Station. How can you not win there? And went there, and I was only there for 1 season, took over a team mid-semester, mind you. So back-to-back jobs for me, I took over at mid-semester. And after 1 season there, that fall recruiting class, which had Dustin Majewski, which a lot of Longhorn friends or people remember. Dustin was on that. I recruited him out of Brenham High School. Those were two really, really good junior college places. Blinn had a little bit more of a campus at the time. And like I said, it was so strategically placed. I was like, man, I got my first recruiting class there that I didn't get to coach. Had 14 draft picks on it. Two were first rounders.
Now, they would have played what season? 2000?
They would have played in 2000.
Yeah.
And I took that. I left. Now, a lot of those guys, Ty Howington, who was a first-round draft pick, Josh Beckett, was I'd also signed. Josh was a second pick overall, I think. A lot of those guys you knew were going to sign. But ironically, with Josh, I'll say this, it got up to the last 3 weeks before school started, and I was kind of getting nervous. I was like, because there was so much, behind him.
Is he going to sign or is he
not going to sign? Yeah. And So it got exciting, and but he ended up he actually, Josh is an unbelievable guy about it. He called the day before he was on his way to Arlington to meet with the Marlins at the time. I think it was Florida, and said, "Coach, I'm going to sign, and just want to let you know in case you get it." But anyway, he handled it really professionally.
That's good. He went on and had a pretty decent career.
He did okay, didn't he?
Yeah, he was. That was a big part of that as well. Okay. So anyway, there's. The things that go on, and that's what we were talking about, the things, the machinations that happen behind the scenes when you're trying to compile a coach. I would imagine also when you first got to Northeast Texas, and then also when you got to Blinn, the putting together of a coaching staff can be challenging. But as you pointed out yesterday, some of that, you're bringing some people along with you, trusted confidants. And that's what David Pierce did with Sam Houston, then at Tulane, and then coming from Tulane with both Sean Allen and Philip Miller.
Yeah, I mean, he's loyal to his people. I mean, I think that's a great quality. Without any doubt, it's a great quality. And but then again, there are times that this game evolves and things change in your mind as a leader, and you got to consider a lot of different things, and you know, and trying to figure out and sometimes it's just maybe what you didn't feel like you did well that year that you got to improve on or get better at. Sometimes it's just, like you mentioned earlier, it's a new voice. It's a new creativeness. It brings new ideas, and just it's refreshing. And so there's a lot of different things that go into that and making those kinds of decisions.
Yeah. Okay. All right. And let's see. A couple other things. You had somebody else. Yeah, the aroma of Tacoma. Yeah, that's it. I knew about it back then. Snoop, somebody wants to know, now that summertime is upon us, have you made your way back to Bumble? The people need more Bumble stories. Did you really? The dating app. You're feeling good again since yesterday was payday, right? Yeah, I see. So that's sometimes we run into the old Snoop thing of too much month left at the end of the money. You know, that sometimes that happens. That happens to all of us. You know, sometimes too much month left at the end of the money instead of much more money left at the end of the month. You're okay? Yeah. All right. Yeah. Yeah. You know that, huh? Yeah. 175 to go there. You know, you can rent a car, even though car rentals are expensive right now. You can rent a car for about $70 to do that drive.
What's that thing you can go on? Turo, something that you can rent other people's cars.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true, too.
It's like a VRBO of vehicle or something.
Verbo of rental, right? Carolina Sam says, hey, like driving down through Luling on 183 and you smell the crude, right?
Yeah, that is. Yes, that's exactly right. You leave Martindale and you get into Luling, it hits you about halfway there at air condition. You start looking around, you make sure your air condition is running right in your car.
We love Luling, no possible, no doubt about it. Is it possible for a high school football player to have a higher national ranking than his state ranking? The answer is yes, and Phil, and the reason for that is you have different people doing the rankings. Some people, right, it's just like it is certainly possible for a coach to be selected as the National High School Coach of the Year and coaching in Texas high school football, and then didn't win it in his own state, because the people who are doing the voting on that and the picking on that are looking sometimes at different things. You know, a coach that completely turned a program around that went from a 2-win team to an 11-win team, as opposed to a team that was a preseason top 5 and ended up winning a state championship.
I mean, it's no different than, like, you know, postseason awards in college baseball. You have so many different groups that are voting on it, and they see things differently, or their agendas on it are totally different. And I like it because you pick up one recruiting
service,
and all of a sudden you hear this, and you pick up another one, and it's like anytime human nature, human emotions involved in it, and decisions, things are going to be different than what you and I are going to think.
No doubt about that. So somebody said you can rent a U-Haul truck for $30 there, Snoop. You know, you might be able to do there up there. Yeah. Well, if it'll help you get to there, right? CB, he said, I've lived up here in the Seattle area for 2 years. First time I ever heard about the Aroma in Tacoma. Yeah, you make that drive down there, CB. See if it's in. And let me know also, CB, if the Poodle Dog Diner in Fife is still around. That's not to be confused with the Poodle Dog Lounge there on Burnett Road there. In fact, I remember I brought home a sweatshirt from when I was doing indoor soccer. And it was this really nice embroidered sweatshirt. It had like this little lace collar thing on. I brought it home for my wife when I was up there doing an indoor soccer game. And it was a neat little diner in Fife, Washington. It's a small little community between. It's just outside of Tacoma, really. It's between Tacoma and Seattle, but closer to Tacoma. And it was just this old school diner. And I brought her back a sweatshirt, and she wore it, and she came home one day and said, "Do you know there's a Poodle Dog Lounge here in Austin?" I said, "No, I didn't know that yet. I was getting looks from people." I'm like, okay. CB, make a trip down there and let you know. So also our man in Belton says, there's a rock wool plant in Belton where it smells like rotten eggs when you drive by. It's been there since I was a kid, and I'm 46 now. He said, my dad was a starting point guard and shortstop for the Tarleton Plowboys, and they were runner-up in the 1960 JUCO World Series in Grand Junction.
I did not know that. I didn't know that Tarleton was
started off as a junior.
I think
UTA did
know that.
As well.
I did know that. I just remember that they'd gone to the – let me tell you what, it's a beautiful place.
Yeah.
We had so much fun. I will tell you this. This is a really quick, funny story. We were giving away so many baseballs. My kids had never done that before. Our players, and they were, during the game, giving baseballs because there's so many kids involved at the Junior College World Series. And we got down to the last 2 days. I'm sorry. The semifinal game to play against Arizona Western, we had no BP balls left. My kids are giving away all the baseballs.
Out.
And so we had to borrow baseballs from the college there and to be able to even take a batting practice.
Yeah. A couple other smelly references. You drive through Bartlett on a hot summer day and you can smell the sewer treatment plant. He says we call it Fartlett instead of Bartlett there. Tim says the folks in Luling says that smells like money.
Yes, it does.
So and somebody else to play baseball in Seguin at TLU with a north wind. The Tyson chicken plant. You can remember that as well. And somebody else said that three of my boys played at Navarro. The oldest drafted by the Angels. Love JUCO ball. And Skip Johnson.
Yep.
And
it's fun. Yeah. You were talking about Coach Beard and what he went through as a junior college coach. I think you learn how to coach. You spend so much. Let me tell you. Okay, let me back up. You learn how to coach, but you also learn how to treat your players. You're with them nonstop. They look at you every day and they go, how are you going to be able to help me develop and move on to Division I or professional baseball, whatever it may be, or to college, a higher, college baseball. So they become reliant on you some, and you don't have all the restrictions that you have in Division I baseball, time with them, practice, and all those kinds of things. And so to me, and I think Skip and Tim and people that have coached before, Mitch Thompson, all these guys, and others, I think they'll tell you that you spend so much time with them. There's a trust value that you gain. There's more that you learn about. You don't learn something about somebody until you sit across the seat from them on a 6-hour, 8-hour bus trip. After you just got your brains kicked in by school and you're trying to figure out how to win the next day and you're looking down there and those guys are riding right next to you. And so you learn a lot about each other and I think you learn how to treat your players. And to me, it was a beautiful time in my life. I wouldn't have changed anything about it in being able to coach in junior college baseball.
A couple more odoriferous references in San Angelo. Says Nick, working out in Big Lake, you learn to appreciate the smell of crude. It does smell like money. Grant said, drive through Seminole, you'll smell dead cows. Somebody in Texas City down there has a distinct odor. And they said, what about Bastrop and the smell at the dog food plant?
Yeah, you know what? We need to reverse the momentum of this. So when you drive down LaSalle Avenue in Waco, and you go over the bridge right there heading over to the east side of Waco, there's a Mrs. Baird's bread plant.
Yeah.
So let's change the momentum of this. And it smelled better.
Wonderful.
So I was on my way to church, First Baptist Church in Waco. You had to go over that. And I remember pulling over that, and I was going, oh, now that.
It was like that along for many years on Central Expressway in Dallas driving past the Mrs. Baird's plant at nighttime. Smell that bread, bacon. It was something else. All right, coming up, we've got, speaking of food, a couple of fast food references in our inconceivable pile when we continue to light the tower on the Horn, 104.9, 101.9 AM 1260. We're live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.